right.
Want to do that? So this is the first of some of our kind of our diversity in Sunday school teaching. And so I'm doing a spotlight this morning. I'll call a spotlight on the ministry in Grenoble, Reformed Baptist Ministry. And that is, which is being carried on by David Vaughn in the city of Grenoble. And I am, I don't know, embarrassed to say that I've been here for 3 years, and it's taken that long for me to do this, because that I must testify that the work there that was carried on through David is probably one of the most important things that has happened in my life, and I give glory to God for how he worked through David, for myself, for Judy, for, in fact, our whole family. So that's not the subject of this presentation, but if in my testimony given to become a member of this church, I really, that was an important point. And so I'm really privileged now to be able to talk a little bit more in detail about what's going on in France. So we're going to talk about David Vaughn and his family this morning. And his ministry started, David's ministry, or his call to serve the Lord in the field, started in the Ivory Coast. So I'll mention that. And now today it ends in Grenoble, France. And to start, I have just a short 5-minute excerpt from a sermon that David did. Oh, I shouldn't say a sermon, but he was in a conference, a pastor's conference in Atlanta in the States from 2005. And as the title says, A Work of a Missionary. And as we sung in the hymn, Christ our solid rock, and nothing, everything else is built on sinking sand, as we sang, David here is talking about, where does the power of the work go? Where does the power, where does it come from? The work of the of a missionary. So 5 minutes, you'll get to hear David, and this is in French. I hope you can follow. No, this is in. So purposely I picked in English, but we'll see if this works here.
Warner. The last thing is the missionary's power in his work. The missionary's breadth of vision, the missionary's very specific work, and the missionary's priestly ministry, the missionary's power in his work. And we read in the text again, Paul says, in verse 17, therefore I have reason to glory or to boast in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. Even in things which pertain to God, I have reason I can boast, but in Christ Jesus. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me, or in some versions, I would not dare to speak except of those things which Christ has accomplished through me in word and a deed to make the Gentiles obedient in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, etc., etc. This tells us that there's nothing worth even mentioning about the missionary's work. Nothing really worth talking about at all about our work. Except that part of it where the living Christ has stretched forth his hand and acted through us. There is the missionary's power. There is the real work. It's the Lord's work, of course. The amazing thing is that he does it through such earthen vessels. It's quite amazing. I think it was studied, it says, we're a bunch of nobody serving somebody. But there's nothing worth mentioning except what Christ has done. But that part, it's not only worth mentioning, it's worth boasting about. And we ought to get on to some boasting. And Paul does a bit of boasting here. It should lead us to glory and to boast in Jesus Christ about what Jesus Christ can do among the nations. Among the most benighted, enslaved peoples of the earth through the most ordinary and weak and frail and unlikely instruments. Men like me and you who often say, I shouldn't really even be here. I don't know what I'm doing here. And the reason why Paul could go into the most difficult of places and situations, and the reason why you perhaps could go one day or send someone for your church, if Christ calls you, is that obstacles and inadequacies are nothing before this hour of the living Christ. It is the living and reigning Son of God who said that all authority, even in the heavenly places, has been given to him as the God-man mediator that stands as the Son of Man now, that has asked for the nations as his heritage, and the Father says, yes, they're yours. I stretch forth your scepter. And he can not only enable you to go and enable our association to send and to get men there, but he, by his power, can do such things through us that we'll have something to boast about or follow. Because Christ is the missionary.
That's it. All right. So I just give you a flavor of the teaching of David Vaughan and the emphasis of his work, and I think should be the focus as we look at a little bit about what's going on in Grenoble, look a little bit about David. So the emphasis is on what's the work that Christ is doing. So I think David would not want us to focus on the man, but focused on Christ. So that would be our prayer. So that's what I wanted to start this with, and we'll come back and we'll end with that thought as well. So I'm going to talk about his personal journey, how David got to Grenoble, the spiritual climate in France. I think it's very, very important for us to understand about the Lord's work and actually to give more glory to God, to understand how difficult it is in France to be in the ministry. And then we'll continue to look at what's going on in Grenoble. And at the end, I'll make sure that we have time to lift up the work in prayer. So at the end, we'll have a list of items. And then if we can pray corporately, that would be a real blessing. So the history. So David, when he left the university, he was trained. Oh, no, I'll probably miss some of these details. As I see these things, some things will flash to mind, and I'll add some ideas I didn't take in my notes. So if I remember correctly, David was a math major in college and graduated from university. He felt called to the mission field, and he went in 1983 to Ivory Coast with Campus Crusade for Christ. So as he went there, he had signed up for a typical crusade one-year mission, and he wound up staying there for 6 years. And he developed a great love for the African people during that time. In fact, he still goes back. As you remember, Chris, our son, was in Burkina Faso. And if you remember where that is. So just above Ivory Coast here, Burkina Faso, where Chris was for last year. So David has remained in contact with the ministry that's going on there and goes down every few years to do conferences and do training of African pastors. So he was there. He met his wife, Nikki, who is also working for Campus Crusade, and she's from South Africa. And then they're married, and he returned to the U.S. in 89, and that's when David and Nikki were married. And David became associate pastor, working with the youth at Heritage Church, which is in Fayetteville, Georgia, south of Atlanta. And that's an ARPCA church. When David went to Africa, he was not a reformed Christian in his thinking. And that happened during his time there. And I didn't ask David, I don't have that information how that all came about, but he became convinced of the Reformed truths during that time and became very, like most of us, fairly evangelistic in that understanding and communicated that strongly in organization. He left Campus Crusade because he was asked to leave because his teaching was in conflict with some of the administration in Crusade in Africa. When he met Nikki, she was not a believer, didn't have any Reformed understanding. And I remember a story that he said he asked Nikki to take her Bible and underline all the words in the Bible that said chosen, selected, predestined, called. And that's what Nikki did, went through her Bible. I still remember that. And she said she went page by page or whatever, looking at where God is referring to his interaction and his work in the individual. Because she was of the conviction that, well, it was man's choice. And that she saw through going through that, that God opened up her eyes. And she became convinced of God's sovereignty in the salvation of man. And she then became Reformed in her thinking and eventually... Then they were married in 89. That's the start. And so when he went to Ivory Coast, that's where he learned French. So Ivory Coast is a French colony, or it was a French colony, Côte d'Ivoire, and that's where he's got his French training. So now France. So France is a diverse country. I showed you some of the images of France. And when he was in Heritage Church, he was there for about 3 years, and his heart was still reaching out. He still felt called to the ministry, the mission field, and he was looking for opportunities to reach out to French speaking people. He actually wanted to go back to Africa, but his body, for health reasons, he was not. It was not good for him to live in Africa. So, in fact, he picked up some sort of bug, as can happen, a parasite in his body, and was actually very sick for many years until they determined how to treat it. So his heart was Africa. His heart was French-speaking, but physically he could not go back. So he was then informed through the ARBCA ministries, the Reformed Baptist Association, of a need in the city of Chalon-sur-Saône, I've indicated there. And so he left after 3 years in Atlanta back to a French-speaking world, back to France to start as a missionary. So he came to this country, which is diverse, very high technology, as you have the TGV and the Concorde that were developed in France. We have the castles, the chateaux, and we don't need to speak about the wonderful food, the cheeses, the wine, and they even eat snails. Just amazing place. And then culturally bizarre, where, like I said, where they, up in the far left, they burn cars. So they even say in Grenoble that there's a car burning every night. So now, if you live in certain part of Grenoble, it is kind of something that does happen. So they'll burn a car. Now, we've never saw that, but that's what they say. So you have the car burning. Then you have the trucks here. We were living in France when the trucks blockaded the auto route. I mean, just imagine going out onto 580 and not being able to get on 580 because the trucks are just stopped there. Now you have metering lights that do it, but you can't even get on. And so the freeways were blocked all over France. So just a very different place for Americans to live. So 91, David and his family went to Chalon. And it was a small church, so he was called there. There was a church that was existing. They did not have a pastor, and so they asked ARBCA if they had someone. And so that's where David went there, to something that was established, a very, very small church. We visited there a couple times, and there was maybe 15, 18 people that were there involved. And so when he showed up, they She was instrumental in getting the 1689 Confession of Faith translated and published in French. So that did not exist until some of the work that he was involved with. And then the first Reformed Baptist family camp started while he was there in Chalon. And showing his family there, so this is, the ages are up to date. So Michelle, Caroline, and Jonathan, and they were all born in France. Yeah, that works out. And then in 1999, he left Chalon to establish a church in Grenoble. So before we go into what's going on in Grenoble, I'll go back to talk about France. So it's a little bit of an eye chart to give you an idea about the spiritual environments there. And again, to say that's important to know, to appreciate the difficulty there. Highlight. It's a Catholic country, but by tradition only. So you see that 68% or I've seen 70-75% numbers like that. People profess to be Catholic, but only 8% of the people actually go to church. So if you go to a Catholic church, and there's one in every city, that's the big church. In most places, the Catholic church in France, there's very few people there. It's very empty, and they're mostly older people. So that's just a traditional background. It says there's 3,000 full-time Protestant workers, and to note, a third of them are foreigners. So that's a big problem in the church. There's a lot of missionaries there, and there's not a lot of churches, Christian churches or evangelical churches, Protestant, which are supported by French native pastors. Interesting statistic after that is 5% of the population owns a Bible. 5%. 80% has never handled one. It is really dark. And why is it dark? Is I've highlighted down below that France tried everything they could do to get rid of evangelical Christians. So as you look there in the 1500s, started with the Bartholomew Day's Massacre, where 25,000 Protestants, I should have meant there, were killed in a 4 or 5 days. At that time in France, there was almost 50% of the country was Protestant. And if you flash over to the 1800s, 1900s, at the bottom figure, 1.6% of the country was Protestant. So during that time there, the Catholics drove the Protestants out. And if you go certain places in France, especially down in the south, where the Huguenots would set up, where we're living, they would have secret locations where they would have church services. And there's a museum down there where it would talk about how they would have the clandestine pulpits. They would have pulpits, basically, you pull on a cart, and it was like a transformer nowadays, and you pull it out, and they put it together, and it became a pulpit, and they would set up services in the countryside, again, to avoid the persecution. A lot of the Protestants went to Switzerland, so we can see actually God's hand in his church, because that was that formed that strong core of Protestant believers like John Calvin, which was so critical for the Reformed faith. But they were cast out of France. And then we have the French Revolution, I stumbled upon this great quote by Rousseau, which I think encaptures some of the spirit of many of the French people, that man is good by nature, but corrupted by society. So when you talk to a French person and you talk to them about sin and man having a sin nature, there's an automatic wall that comes up. French is so convinced that man is good. Man does good things. And you can see that in a lot of their work. There's several French organizations where they go out and they help, what do they call it, Sans Frontières? Becky, do you remember? What's the name of that organization? Something Sans Frontières. Do you know them? No. But they go out with mostly medical or just to help out. And there's even young people go out to different countries to work in orphanages. And there's this idea of reaching out, but it's because they believe that man is good in themselves and man needs to do good works. So when you when you talk about sin, there's this block that occurs. Then, as we know, humanism, a lot of that understanding came from France. So 1800s, 1900s, come down, fear of sex. and the occult. This is also a big, big stumbling block for the French people. I remembered when we were... Well, most French people don't understand what an evangelical church is, and they consider that to be could be a sect. They're very, very suspicious of any group that's not Catholic. They don't Catholic. They understand. They may not believe because they don't believe in God. Protestant, they understand. They've heard a little bit about, but evangelical, they don't know anything about, and they fear that it is. Something that's going to take them away and brainwash them. So most French will be resistant because of that. We were looking for a church building, and we'll talk about that later. That was a real blessing. And I wasn't at the meeting, but they went. Our pastor and then one of the members went to talk to the city. I guess it was a city planner, a person, a zoning person at one of the villages. And so they're talking about a church. And he says, well, if it wasn't so much about aspect about a sect, but if we allow Christians or allow you to have a building, then we'll be able to allow any other type of group. And so, in fact, they were resistant to allowing any type of religious, any type of organization have anything that was religious to have another building, because then that would open the doors to all these other types of groups. So there's a basic suspicion in the French society. Brock.
Yeah, Jeff, I guess before you go on, what percentage of the population would be self-avowedly atheist? How does that compare to here?
Good question. I don't have a statistic there, but there's a very large percent of the population are atheist. That is, they say they're Catholic, but they actually don't believe in God. And you could talk to Becky after, and she'll confirm that. That's something that's not at all discussed or considered even possible if you're a rational being to think of God. Evolution is a fact for France. Anyone who doesn't believe in evolution is certainly someone who has no common sense, has no education, is a very simple person in mind. And that's how the French have been taught from birth all the way through. So that's the context. So that also says when there is a conversion in France, it really does testify to a work of God, because they have to get rid of all that baggage that they've been taught, and all those errors and falsehoods, and it has to be a complete conversion. So, Peggy.
How do they feel about the Muslims? Do they look at them as a cult or a sect also? Do they have mosques there?
Yes. And so France, it's a really funny place. So they really believe in diversity and freedom. They don't see that if you believe as a Christian, that the fact that you believe in creationism, I mean, that's nonsense. So it's got nothing to do with your freedom. But that's saying that they accept the Muslims as they have the right to believe and they have the right to live the way they live. Although in France, when you're in France, you are French. So France is very chauvinistic. That's a good definition of that word. That they don't... they're very strict about people not keeping their culture. I mean, they can keep their culture, but when they're in France, they're French. And what are some examples? Well, California, the fact that we have Spanish and all the written official language, that would never happen in France. They would never do that. You're in France, you should speak French. I remember people said to me at work when I was trying to communicate, and I wrote something in English, and they wrote back, they saying, Jim, you're in France, we speak French. And that's really what happens there. So they accept the Muslims as a people group, but they expect them to be French. They're supposed to keep the French customs in general, and they're supposed to respect French laws and society. So there is some friction there. But as far as Islam, they're okay with Islam. They're okay with that as a religion. That doesn't cause them. It scares them a little bit because of the radicalness. It scares them a lot. But there's not a large negativeness. That's my view. And I should say I'm not an expert. This is my opinions and what I've lived. This is rather long, but this is something that David sent, and it's also to explain about the context that the Christian church finds itself in. And it talks about the start here, so I'll just read through it. I think it's interesting. French media continues to do tremendously slanted reports on evangelicals in America. In their primetime news reports in France, this week the most popular primetime news program showed footage of supposedly converted ex-motorcycle gang members in the USA as they were shown riding down the road on their Harley Davidsons. The Hallelujah Chorus was played in the background by the newscaster. The men then arrived at their little church building, set up the stage for a rock and roll worship service. One of them actually driving up to the pulpit on his motorbike. When asked about why they drove at 150 miles an hour on the freeway, one of them replied that we are all just sinners. So this sort of news report has been going on for several years now, and in all that time, I have never seen one serious Bible-believing and non-charismatic evangelical church shown or interviewed on the news. Our own church members are, of course, just as appalled at these evangelicals on the news as are the average French citizen watching the report. We see that our Lord's words that men would revile you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely have proved true all through the centuries. We expect to be no exception, but we do ask for your prayers that true God would raise up a holy, sober, and upright church in France that would be a true light set on a hill that men will see no matter what message the media transmits. This is just typical. France, the French media, like the U.S., because as I told my friends in France, you can find anything in the U.S. if you look around. I mean, there are you know, ultra-conservatives, and there's wackos, and if you search around, you can find anything in the U.S. And the French media does that, and they love to show some of the wackos. And their portrayal of the evangelicals is just this type of thing. So that these people, it's always the extreme side they show. I did remember seeing one show of the evangelicals, and they went to one of the mega churches in Colorado Springs. That's where the pastor now who had the problem with some homosexual affair, I can't remember his name, he was Haggard. And I'm sure that I wasn't around when they probably took the Haggard thing and they just put that on the front page news. But they showed the mega church, they showed kind of the rock band type stars, and they say, this is the church in the U.S. So that's another point that makes it hard for conversion. That's a resistance. You ask someone, a French person, your neighbor, to come to your church, and you describe what it is. And again, you've got to get through all that. And there's so much suspicion about the evangelical movement. One last note. There are some Bible schools, and this we can pray about later. So there is noted that there are 12 evangelical Bible schools. There is even a seminary school in Aix-en-Provence in the south, which they teach Reformed doctrines. So God be praised. In the midst of all of that negativeness, there is still His work. Here's a quote from Operation World, important to note. There are not enough full-time French Christian workers to begin to meet the need. Missionaries find it hard to adapt. So this is the context for outside person coming in. They find it hard to adapt and win acceptance. And church planning has had limited effectiveness when foreign patterns are imported. In France, you have to be French. Fruit is hard won, discouragements many, and the missionary dropout rate is high. I did hear that France had the highest dropout rate for missionaries of any country. Which seems strange, because you think, oh, it must be difficult to go to Africa or, you know, some some of the islands in New Guinea or something. But in fact, the atmosphere is so difficult in France that missionaries get depressed and they're not effective and they leave. In Grenoble, there are, I noticed here, 11 evangelical Christian churches, which makes Grenoble one of just a real blessed location to have that many churches. There are other churches too. I didn't put them in here, but largely this list doesn't have some of the real charismatic and Pentecostal churches. That movement has had some popularity in France. There's several in Grenoble. But these are churches that are all linked together. They're part of a federation of evangelical churches in France. They are all Armenian, except for our church that we listed, the one that was started by David, Église Réformée Baptiste. Église, if you haven't figured that out, that means church. And Réformée Baptiste is pretty translatable. And Du Crécy-Vaudan is the valley, and I'll show you where it's located. So the churches are small. So I mentioned 20 to 200 persons. But there are some that you can go. There's one or two here that there would be close to 200 people in a service. And that's very large for an evangelical church. So this is kind of the timeline for our church in Grenoble. So the Vons came in March of 1999, and we started meeting in the home of a family, the Boutin family. And I should mention that we were part of the first family. So in fact, it was ourselves, the mechanics, the Boutin family, and they had also three children, and the Vons, and another individual, a single man, Gerard Netipon. We were the beginning of the church. And it's our friends, the Boutins, who actually got some Reformed literature from, it's a very confusing story, but they got some literature that was translated, there were French books translated, I'm sorry, English books translated into French, and they started talking to us about that, and we got the English translations, and we started reading that, and God worked in their lives, mightily in their lives, and in ours. And it's the Boutins who called and asked David Vaughan to come to Grenoble. And at that time, David was changing his ministry. There's different things in Chalon-sur-Saône that were happening that made him think of going to another larger city, and God worked that out providentially, and he came to Grenoble, and we started the church in their home. So we officially formed as a church in 2000, and we're still meeting in their living room, in the Boutin's living room. And we had several other families joined us, and I think in probably around the 2001 time frame, we're about six or seven families that were all together meeting on Sundays in their living room. They would clear out all the furniture and we put up chairs, and that's where we would do our church service. And in 2002, we were able to find a school that would rent a small a room for us on Sundays. So we would go didn't have to use our home anymore. Went to this trade school. In February of 2005, we were blessed. I'll show you some pictures of the building that we were able to purchase in the city of Domaine and moved in. And then just this last year, if you read any of the newsletters, they have a second elder, David Vaughan being the first elder, but they voted that a new elder, Pascal Grange, who's native French, he is very French, and so it's a real blessing that he be part of that work, and that's kind of the timeline of the church. So Grenoble, as mentioned, is a city of around 500,000 people, and it is, what can I say about Grenoble? Actually, it's a high-tech area for France. It's the Silicon Valley of France. A lot of semiconductor activities, a lot of microelectronics are done there. They have a research center and several universities. We live, just for trivia's sake, where's my arrow? We live in a little town of Bivier out here in the suburbs. So Grenoble is extremely dense. I don't have pictures, but lots of high-rise apartments. Most people don't live in individual houses, still in high-rise, but then we were blessed to be out here, and this is kind of the burbs, and we had individual house. The church is in this city of Domain. That's physically where it's located. Most of the members of the church, people attending, are around kind of this east side. This direction east goes toward Geneva. This direction south goes south toward Marseille and Nice to the Mediterranean. And this direction is freeway goes up to Lyon and direction toward Paris. The church. So this is a building we bought, and it's owned by the church in the Reformed Baptist Church there, which is an incredible blessing. This church, it was what we bought was an existing church. There had been an evangelical or a church for present in that location for 15 years. But their population of the number of members had just dwindled down, and there were just four or five people meeting together on a Sunday. And they said, we just don't see any reason for us to continue to exist. And they were giving up their building. And they knew of the work there, our church. And so then it worked out that we were able to purchase that building. We, because of, as I mentioned, the difficulty of evangelical churches and being accepted by the or understood, we tried for maybe a year just going to the city planners for all the different communities, and it was very negative, 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 negative. So when this became available, it was a real blessing. You see, it's a small building, but it's just perfect for the size of the church. So I have some pictures here just to give you an idea of what it's like. Let's see, arrow. The church building, look at that. Okay, so that's our church. And it's just in a kind of a little strip mall. This building right to this Beaulieu Service, in fact, is a mosque. It doesn't look like a mosque, so it doesn't have whatever minaret or anything on the top of it. But it is. It was purchased by a Muslim church, and they don't have a permit there, but nobody. In France, if you don't ask, it's okay, and nobody's asked. So they purchased it, and so during the week, you'll see the people, the Muslims here, will come in, and they have. This is just, you go through the door of this blue building, and it's just a big carpet. I mean, we've peeked through the window a little bit, and there's nothing in there, no furniture, because they just go down. They just go in there and kneel and pray. But they're right next door. That has not caused any issues for the church. So that was a subject of prayer. But they don't communicate. David has tried to talk with a couple of people, but they're not interested in communicating at all. So on their prayer days, those would be filled with people, cars and people with their typical Muslim white robes and that go there to pray. So kind of there's a diversity. So this is just some shows. Showing you this, the beautiful strip mall. It really is a kind of a ugly place. And then it's a typical high-rise apartments. So a large percentage of the people, again, live in these apartments. And we've done some stuffing mailboxes with brochures saying, we're here, church is here, please come and visit. And I think we had maybe one person come. That it just doesn't work. People will not, French people will not come and get a brochure in their mailbox. They won't come unless they know someone who's involved. Again, there's no understanding for what an evangelical church is or a non-Catholic church is, so they won't come. So the witness has to be through a friendship. So that's the church. Okay, so now we'll go into the church, some pictures, so... The church holds about 55 people, and we have usually around 30 people in the church service. So and I'll show you. It's just some pictures of the people. So profile, let's see. Phil Wilson has been here. Yeah, and he's even eaten at the Junghorn's house. So Phil and Grace and their children have been there from the beginning. Well, not from the beginning, shortly after the beginning. And then Didier Gabin and Christine Gabin. This is from this last summer. So we took a few pictures during the church. This is kind of blurry. Person here, Pascal. He's the new elder. Here's Pascal. And this is the back of David. Christophe Caillot, Jean-Pierre Cretin. It would be fun, I just didn't even think of this, to actually go through some of the testimony of each one of these individuals. And it's just been just a real complete transformation in their lives for them to be Christian. And for some of them, especially like Caillot, Christophe Caillot, family's Catholic kind of background, and they are just very, very negative. Don't want to talk about anything to do with what they believe here as they become Christians. And so again, that's why I say it's a work of the Spirit. And this is Nicky Vaughn and Christine Grange. So this is Pascal's wife. And there's some lovely ladies. So, and this is Caroline Vaughn, Caroline, daughter. And this Superman. So you see that actually the dress code, we'll call it that, for this is Sunday service is pretty casual in France. For most evangelical churches, it's casual. I don't know why it's that way, but that's if you wear a tie, you're going to a funeral or something, but not to church. All right, so. Some of the people. Oh, someone you know. So, and Lydia Wilson is one of Becky's best friends. And all right, so that's the people. Let's see what else. Oh, just one last shot, and then I think we'll. This is a good time. We'll go to some questions and some prayer. So our three grown children, and I couldn't find Becky's picture. They were all baptized in France. In fact, they were, And what we use for baptizing there in France is the Butin's swimming pool. We don't have it there, but it's in their backyard. So we didn't have a baptistry. So I want to again praise the Lord for what he's done again through the church and in our lives, and give thanks for that work. And I think these last two is ministries, okay, and then a time of prayer. So there's a summer camp. I mentioned that David started that in his ministry in Chalon. So every summer they invite families from all over French speaking, whether it be Switzerland or France, and average says 160, 180 people attend these camps. So that's a great encouragement. Just like we do friend to friend, the church there in Grenoble does an evangelistic service, try to reach out to friends. They do that twice a year. There's an Easter camp that occurs for Reformed churches. It's actually partly sponsored by the churches that Anne is involved with in Germany. They do a winter camp, so there's a 5-day camp for college students, so reaching out to them. And they just started a program, Adopt a Pastor. So this is something where they're sending Reformed literature to pastors, French-speaking pastors in France and Switzerland, and they have done their first distribution to 37 pastors. So two books, as it says, every 6 months. Again, not only is the country in general not aware of evangelical churches, but the pastors, those that are in Protestant churches, they just have no access. They've never heard about the Reformed teaching. So this ministry that's been started up is an attempt to get this God's truths distributed to the pastors. So as I have some of the titles that they're sending to them. And so the last quote here was from the clip that we just heard. There's nothing worth even mentioning about the missionary's work except that part of it where the living Christ has stretched forth his hand and worked through us. From David Vaughn. So Christ is working in the ministry. So we'll here are a list of prayer requests. So if we can take the next the last 10 minutes, so maybe we'll just do that last 10 minutes to pray. Pray for the ministry in Grenoble. So pray for and in France. So they need full-time workers. They need more missionaries to reach out. Really need to pray again for French people to be led by the Lord to go into the ministry. Pray for the work of the church and its ongoing witness of the members of the church. David had mentioned one of his newsletters that he is able to witness to his physical therapist, so we can pray for him. There is a young person, a good friend of Becky's. Her name is Ev. So she comes from a totally non-Christian, that would be an atheistic home. But the gospel has worked in her life, so we pray for Ev. This program, Adopt a Pastor, that God's word would be communicated to those pastors. David and Nikki, again for Pascal, the new elder. And then for the young people, Lord, that were in this winter camp that they had even this last year, that God would be, his spirit would work in them to build his church. So if we can have a couple men pray for these different items, different ministries, and then if you have any questions, then after you can come on up and I'll do my best to answer. So.